Hello, my name is Judith Pellegrino, and welcome to Close Encounters with My Inner Child. In this episode, I will be reading multiple entries from my adult's daily internal family system journal on a protector part called Defensive Judy. I will illustrate how Defensive Judy shows up in my adult's interactions by sharing a personal experience she had with her husband of 37 years. I will describe Defensive Judy's reaction and how my adult tried to parent this protective part. I will share how a timely, powerful YouTube video, Making Marriage Work, helped diffuse Defensive Judy's intense reaction and led to her drafting and reading a clear, concise letter to her husband. I will tie it all up in a bow of vulnerability that gave birth to more respect and appreciation in their marriage. As I have shared in previous podcasts, my adult has been practicing internal family systems. She learned about IFS from Richard Schwartz, PhD, to help her communicate with her protective parts. For the sake of time and necessity, I will only share answers from four main questions my adult learned to ask her parts from an IFS meditation. Please note, even though these parts have different names, they are part of Defensive. I noticed that even though these parts' answers appear similar, the varied parts actually go a little deeper. Each entry helped my adult to get to know them intimately. IFS helped each part to feel safe enough to expose Defensive Judy's roots. I am sharing my adult's entries with you all in the hopes you will understand what is going on inside of you or others you know personally or professionally who may become defensive. I am going to read all the entries from April 23rd to November 24th, 2023, by answering one question at a time. The first group of answers are the most negative. The rest of the answers shed light on why the first answers are so destructive and in some cases may be hard to listen to. Let's begin. My adult asked Defensive Judy, "What do you want me to know?" On April 23rd, Defensive Judy said she wants my adult to know, "I count." She added, "I am sick and tired of everyone being considered smarter than me." On 6/20, Holler and Screamer Judy wanted my adult to know, "I want to be heard. I'm sick and tired of being misunderstood and being too understanding, a silent doormat." On 7/4, Rager Judy said, "I am sick and tired of being a victim. I have had enough." On 8/1, Defensive Judy said, "I have to be right. I'm sick and tired of being the only one who is wrong and being seen as stupid." On 8/3, Argumentative said, "I'm sick and tired of being wrong," but added, "I want to be smart too." On 9/6, Defensive Judy said, "I cannot be wrong, especially when I believe I'm right. I'm sick and tired of being treated like an idiot and being forced to deny my truth." On 10/30, Firefighter Defensive Judy said, "I cannot be wrong because That means that I'm stupid, worthless, a good for nothing. On 11-6, defending Judy said, I have had enough of being labeled and treated like I'm stupid in a multitude of ways. And on 11-24, defensive critic said, I hate you, you stupid ass. My adult asked each of them, what would happen if you were not defensive? On 4-23, she said, people would treat me like I'm an idiot. They would get away with thinking the worst about me. On 6-20, hollerer, screamer, Judy said, people would walk all over me, use me, think I'm okay with their shenanigans. On 7-4, rager said, people would walk all over me, they would hurt me, and I would want to die. On 8-1, defensive Judy said, I would feel so much shame, worthlessness, and loneliness. What would the point of living be? On 8-3, argumentative Judy said, I would be at the mercy of others. I would be a nobody, a nothing. I'd be treated like a stupid idiot. I would go on believing I'm a stupid idiot, even though it's not true at all. On 9-6, defensive critic said, I would feel stupid, worthless, ashamed, unlovable, and sick inside. On 10-30, firefighter defensive Judy said, I would feel stupid, foolish, worthless, and good for nothing. I would feel sick and my heart would hurt. I would cry like a victim. Defending Judy said, I would be blamed and shamed and would want to die. On 11-24, defensive Judy said, you would not have a clue what to do. You would cower in a corner and blame yourself unnecessarily. I hate that about you. Please stop it. Wow, I hear a mean yet polite critic. Then my adult asked each of them, if I can heal the need for defensiveness, what might you like to do instead? On 4-23, defensive Judy said, I would like to be gentle, kind, receptive, understanding, a good student, humble. On 6-20, my hollerer screamer said, set boundaries and uphold them. On 7-4, my rager said, I would like to live my own life and let others live theirs. Live, laugh, and love. Turn the other cheek. Feel good that I'm alive on earth now. On 8-1, defensive Judy said, I would like to listen, learn, grow in trust, like and love myself and others, relax and enjoy my life lessons. On 8-3, argumentative said, have fun, trust myself and others who are worthy of my trust. Enjoy life. On 9-6, defensive Judy said, feel okay if I'm wrong and when others try to make me wrong. On 10-30, firefighter defensive Judy said, I'd like to become a better listener, one who hears criticism as a contribution instead of a threat. I'd like to listen to understand the motivation of others. I'd like to be grateful for the feedback, ask questions to deconstruct the feedback, and share my thoughtful perspective. On 11-6, defensive Judy said, you can't heal this. This is who I am. It's in my DNA. Both parents were stupid and imposed this belief on me. How can you possibly heal this? You've been trying for so long. If you can heal this, I'd like to be intelligent, confident, autonomous, group-minded, and unified. Enjoy my life. Defensive critic said, I'd like to do what you're learning from the Anxious Perfectionist book and the articles on parenting and boundaries you've been reading. I want to be an unapologetic, accepting person. I want to let assholes be assholes, and I want to learn from constructive criticism. Then my adult asked them, what do you need from me in the future? On 4/23, Defensive Judy said, I need my intelligence to be recognized, nurtured, and praised so I can succeed like everyone else. I need to be noticed for what I do correctly. I need to be reminded if and when I make mistakes that I am not a mistake. I need to be corrected with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. I need my good efforts to be acknowledged and rewarded. I need the way I think and learn to count as much as people who are academically, technologically, and mechanically inclined, unlike me. On 6/20, Hollerer Screamer said, good orderly direction from my higher power. Listen to feelings when they tell you someone is not good for you. Don't make excuses for people's inappropriate behavior. Stop being loyal to people who do not deserve your loyalty. On 7/4, Rager said, I need protection, healing from past predators. I need loving looks, loving words, patience, acceptance, a sense of belonging, appreciation, respect, encouragement, reassurance, forgiveness, permission to be me, belief in me, words of praise and gratitude. On 8/1, Defensive Judy said, I need to be reassured that I'm smart enough and can learn. I need a close connection with God and let God defend me, protect me, and comfort me. On 8/3, Argumentative said, I need a healthy sense of self, reminders that I'm okay, encouragement and reassurance if I make mistakes, belief in me, protection from criticism, gratitude for who I am, and no comparisons to others. On 9/6, Defensive Judy said, unconditional love, reassurance, humor if she becomes too serious, encouragement, belief in me even if I make mistakes, hugs, loving looks, the truth, reminders that I am lovable. On 10/30, Firefighter Defensive Judy said, I need you to heal the shame that binds me and stokes the firefighter into action. Reframe criticism into something positive. On 11/6, Defensive Judy said, I need forgiveness when I make mistakes. I need reframes of perceived mistakes. I need unconditional love, peace, and joy. On 11/24, Defensive Critic said, I need lessons on how to be an accepting person, one who learns and grows from life experiences and asks questions instead of making negative assumptions, drawing erroneous conclusions, and hiding because of the intense shame I feel. Each time my adult's defensiveness was triggered, she believed she was a horrible person. When she journaled with these parts, we got to see that quite the opposite was true. My adult also realized that she could not afford to ignore her basic human needs, as she learned to from her parents and societal norms. She had to learn how to meet these basic human needs, or else. Here is a story to help illustrate. After having a really amazing day, my adult tripped over a box that contained a vacuum sealer. It had been sitting next to her fridge in her cracker box-sized kitchen for months. She held off asking her husband to move it. She believed she was being considerate because her husband's health wasn't that great. She did not want to appear ungrateful or disrespectful to him, especially after he had been an unselfish, caring, supportive husband to her after she fractured her ankle in December while walking her dog. On this particular day, my adult's husband appeared stronger and healthier, so she asked if he would move it. It did not dawn on her that his energy might have been low. He had already removed snow from our Jeep to go food shopping in the bitter cold, while she stayed warm inside. She didn't consider how exerting himself by walking around the big grocery store and bagging the groceries at the checkout and lugging them into the car in the house with her could have reduced his energy levels. My God, he even cleaned his CPAP mask instead of waiting all day to clean it like usual. She calmly asked him to move the vacuum sealer box back into the attic since he appeared to be okay. My adult did not realize he needed to do a lot more than just move the box. It had been sitting where it was because he wanted to vacuum seal some sauerkraut. Believe it or not, he vacuum sealed the sauerkraut. Apparently, he was spent after that. My adult noticed when she went to the attic steps that the vacuum sealer box was now sitting in the middle of them. She believed that now the vacuum sealer box was even more in the way than it was when she tripped over it. Her mind and heart started to race. She realized she could not make her husband put the box in the attic, so she did it herself. Her husband asked her why she went up in the attic with a tone like she did something wrong. Defensive Judy was in high gear now. She shouted in as controlled a manner as she could, "To reclaim my self-respect and dignity." She started to go on and on about how he made the situation worse by leaving the box on the attic step for her to take up, like he usually does. She actually believed he mocked her by sitting it in her way instead of taking it upstairs. She became so furious. Out of the corner of her brain, she remembered a dialectical behavior therapeutic technique she learned in intensive outpatient therapy 2 years prior. She learned to use extreme temperature changes to shift her thoughts and behaviors. She went to the shower. She turned on the ice-cold water. She pulled the sprayer down from the wall. She leaned over the tub and let the icy cold water spray onto her hair and scalp. This shocked her, because it took her 2 minutes to actually feel the icy water on her scalp. My adult towel dried her hair. She locked herself in her room. She started to blow dry her wet hair and prayed to God to help restore her to sanity while she did this. When her hair was dry, she turned to YouTube. Right off the bat, she discovered a video called Making Marriage Work by John Gottman. It lasted for about 47 minutes. The content of this video was sobering. It taught my adult that defensiveness is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in a marriage. It helped her identify what led to the altercation. It helped her identify what had been missing, not only throughout her marriage, but as a child and teen. That was respect and appreciation. It prompted her to draft a letter to her husband. She waited until she had grown the humility to read it to him. She grew enough humility to ask her husband for a do-over, which he granted. She took what she learned from the video and applied it right away. She learned it was important to listen to how her behavior impacts others. My adult learned that when she yelled at her husband saying he disrespected her on purpose, it hurt him deeply. She listened to him list all the things he did while feeling weak. She had forgotten it all before she asked him to move the vacuum sealer. He felt the need to tell my adult that nothing he does is ever good enough for her. She has to keep asking for more and raises the bar. My adult realized she was imposing the same unrealistic standards on her husband that her parents imposed on her. She acknowledged this flaw he identified. After learning from the video what worked and didn't work in her marriage of 37 years, she invited her husband to watch the video with her. He said, "Maybe." After their communication improved as the day went on later that evening, he said he would watch the video with her the next day. My adult thought to look up the word respect and wrote down the definition. Due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, and traditions of others. Reading and processing this definition is what inspired her to write a heartfelt letter to her husband that honored both of them. Here is what she wrote. "I do not feel self-respect after I set a boundary with you around clutter, and then I allow it to still exist in our immediate living spaces." She informed him that she believes clutter makes it dangerous for anyone to walk safely in their home, especially someone with OCPD, like me. She let him know, "I feel ashamed when I allow the clutter to exist, even after setting boundaries with you." She informed him, "When you blamed me for the clutter earlier in the week, it added insult to injury. It helped me see that being nice to you by making excuses for you does not respect me." She added, "Because it's so hard for you to get rid of useless or potentially useful items, I become the bad guy, which I don't want to be. I tried being your helper to help us both. I was hopeful, but effort stopped. The clutter contributes to my emotional illness." My adult looked up the word appreciation. A feeling or expression of admiration, approval, and gratitude. My adult went on to say, "When we worked together on removing the clutter, I felt appreciation no matter how much or how little we accomplished. I cannot feel appreciation for either of us under the current conditions. I'm tired of allowing the clutter to exist by making excuses for you at my expense. I came to realize I'm not pissed off at you as much as I'm furious at myself for being a doormat. This is what hurts me. It is not your fault, as I believed and hoped for so many years." My adult learned some of the ways she may unconsciously contribute to the clutter. by being too demanding or never satisfied is one way. Another is by being critical and or rigid in her thinking. She also learned it is not her fault. One of the lessons she learned long ago from her nutritionist, who told her that her compulsive eating disorder was not her fault, but it was her responsibility. This helped her to see that just because something is not someone's fault, each person has a responsibility to make changes for the good of all. My adult proposed to her husband that they both learn how to respect and appreciate each other. She asked him, "Would you be willing to help me reclaim my self-respect and dignity in our marriage? You can help me by respecting my feelings around my wishes and rights to live in clutter-free common living spaces in our home. This would honor my boundary." After my adult read this letter to her husband, after my adult read this letter to a trusted friend and received very positive feedback from her, she let herself trust God's timing. Shortly after breakfast, she was moved to share this letter with her husband. Tears of truth, grief, and healing poured out of her eyes and streamed down her cheeks. Because her husband listened intently to what she said, they were able to work through her cognitive distortions regarding his lack of respect, regarding where he placed the vacuum sealer instead of where she believed it belonged. Shortly after, my adult invited her husband to watch the Making Marriage Work video on YouTube. He accepted her invitation without asking how long it was going to take to view. Neither of them considered how much time it would take or how much they could actually watch, digest, and assimilate. In hindsight, it would have been a good thing to do. They both agreed that setting a time limit would be wise, and it would honor them both. This was my adult's second time watching this video. She felt a little anxious, wondering if he would be open to what John Gottman was teaching. She felt sobered when she heard John outlining dysfunctional ways of being that hurt each of them. She felt deeply saddened by parts that took her back to moments in her childhood and their marriage when she felt like a thing rather than a person of worth and value. She was raised to be a chameleon or codependent. She also felt hopeful as she identified the two ingredients, respect and appreciation. She was able to see were lacking in their marriage. She learned these were foundational pieces in any relationship and crucial for a successful marriage. This helped her to realize she was not a needy, selfish child for wanting respect and appreciation in her marriage. They're required. When the video concluded, my adult asked her husband if he wanted to talk about the video. He said yes, but he wasn't initiating. My adult listened within to a little voice say, "Let him digest what he heard. You go take your shower, make your bed, and come back and ask if he would like to talk." When she finished those things, while she was putting her shoes on to take their dog outside, she asked her husband if he would like to discuss the video. He seemed anxious to do so, but he was waiting for her to initiate. My adult started to share what she learned. She revealed how she felt about parts of the video. Because he wasn't sharing what he learned, she asked him why he even watched the video. He said, because it was important to you. My adult sobbed in his arms as he held her in his lap. He rubbed her back, which is something she told him is very nurturing to her. She told him how much it meant to her that he watched it, that he let her heal from the many wounds she believed he inflicted on her, but were really self-inflicted over the years. My adult felt closer to this man she has considered discarding like a piece of trash off and on in her head for over 37 years. Watching the video helped my adult to realize that the lack of respect and appreciation was rooted in her inability to set and maintain boundaries, her inability to value, respect, and appreciate herself with them. She realized her inability to recognize her own worth and value made it harder for others to recognize her worth and value and treat her with the respect and appreciation she wanted and deserved. Since this day, my adult has been studying videos on boundaries and applying the lessons she learns. She is incorporating actions she learned to take with her family members. She is learning what she actually wants and needs. Now that she knows, she has to take responsibility with her loved ones for unconsciously teaching them to ignore her wants and needs and to reteach them how to meet them. It is helping her to set and maintain boundaries. My adult also let a therapist of 18 years go in favor of working with one she found who understands OCPD and takes her personal and professional relationship challenges seriously. Her new therapist provided her with a list of 5 types of boundaries: physical, intellectual, emotional, sexual, material, and time. It occurred to my adult that it might be helpful to take an inventory of her history of each of these boundaries from her childhood, teen years, and lastly, her adulthood. As she thought, it is pretty intense work, but it's helping. Another practice my adult started doing on a regular basis is deep breathing meditations and body scan meditations. These are helping her to stay in her body instead of living in her head, which is a pretty dangerous place for her to live. She is noticing how much easier it is for her to stay present to her breath and body. She also realized that it's making it easier for her to know when her boundaries have actually been crossed and then making healthier choices. Instead of feeling a need to become defensive, she is staying calm and grounded. She is communicating about her cognitive distortions, unmet basic human needs and feelings, instead of blaming and shaming people with defensive Judy. This multifaceted part only shows up when my adult forgets to parent her wounded inner parts with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. Thank you for listening.